I see the world your way, and I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light.
God's blessings and welcome to Walking in Faith. We are entering the 24th week in Ordinary Time. And this week we proclaim, give peace, O Lord, to those who wait for you, that your prophets may be found true. Hear the prayers of your servant and of your people Israel. Our prayer this week, look upon us, O God, creator and ruler of all things, and that we may feel the working of your mercy. Grant that we may serve you with all of our heart, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Well, we have great guests coming up. We're going to be speaking with Elizabeth von Trapp. She is the granddaughter of Werner von Trapp, whose character was named Kurt in the Broadway hit and the movie The Sound of Music. So you want to stay tuned to hear what she is up to. She's coming to Philadelphia for a concert in October that you don't want to miss. But right now, let's pray. The Lord inclines his ear to us and hears our voice in supplication. United in faith, we turn to the Father with our prayers. We pray for the church, her leaders, and all the faithful, that they may be blessed with the wisdom and devotion. We pray that those who hold public office will imitate the goodness of God who secures justice and the right of all the oppressed. We pray that on this upcoming National Catechetical Sunday, that God may bless all those engaged in the work of education in the faith. We pray that the Lord will bless all husbands and wives who are preparing for marriage and assist marriages that are in trouble. We pray that all of our parishes may grow in faith, hope, and love. We pray for the grace this week to be repentant and open to the mercy of Christ. Loving Father, you are gracious, just, and merciful. When we are brought low, please save us through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, at this time of year, many of you are used to hearing about or going to the Triduum at the Carmelite Monastery on the feast day of St. Therese. I just wanted to point out that this year they will not be having the Triduum. This is probably the first time in many years that has not taken place. And the reason for that is the chapel that they have in that beautiful building is undergoing construction, and they are unable to hold the annual Triduum, which normally takes place October 1st through the 3rd. But they did say they will certainly be taking all of your intentions to the little flower in their prayers and hope that you can join them saying the Novena prayer. And they say, may our dear St. Therese shower you with graces. So why don't we do that prayer to St. Therese of the Child Jesus right now? Heavenly Father, help us to understand and treasure the grace of the little way that St. Therese has taught us. Help us to rejoice in our littleness and weakness, realizing as she did, that through them, your divine strength is free to do its work of life in us. Show us nothing that is an obstacle, but that everything, temperament, situations in which we find ourselves, our duties in life, are materials for the prayer and sacrifice the world so desperately needs. Give us generosity and courage, O Lord, to use them as you wish. We place our own needs before you, confident that you will answer us, since we pray with St. Therese through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Pray for us, St. Therese of the Child Jesus, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. O God, who did inflame the spirit of love of the soul of your servant, St. Therese of the Child Jesus, grant that we may also love you and make you much loved. Amen. Well, in the news recently, Archbishop Charles Chaput attended a discussion entitled Empty Pews, the Future of Catholic Parishes. The meeting was to share the vision of tomorrow's Catholic parishes and the thinning of Catholic congregations. This all took place at the Cardinals Forum recently at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. Archbishop Chaput said that structured parish life, such as what he grew up with in the Midwest, and especially the neighborhood parishes in the Philadelphia Archdiocese, quote, may be a thing of the past. He said God will decide that, but we have to be participants. He said the reason he was worried was because of church attendance. Mass attendance, according to an article in CatholicPhilly.com, has locally dropped to 18% of registered parishioners. Panelist Nathan Knutson, who is the director of sacred music at the seminary, suggested that the parish of the future should focus on high-quality music that has three necessary traits. It should be holy, that means set aside for God. It should be true art that is not haphazard, but proven. And it should be universal, able to be sung in any country and by any people. Oblate Father Thomas Daly said, while music is important to the liturgy, nothing is more important than the celebration of the liturgy done well. Now, Father Daly holds the John Cardinal Foley Chair of Social Communications and Homiletics. He said that worship remains the unique and distinctive business of the parish. And that's really backed up by a research done by the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate, known as CARA, from Georgetown University. They reported that the top two traits that attract parishioners to their parish, the elements that they rate as excellent, and where a parish's priorities should lie, are its sense of community in terms of its welcoming spirit and sense of belonging, and its worship and celebration of the sacraments in terms of the quality of the liturgy and the preaching. Father Daly suggested that these priorities would have implications on the parish budget. To fund worship adequately, to hire full or part-time staff personnel in favor of volunteers, and to maintain beautiful and effective facilities. John Haas, another panelist, and who's also the seminary's John Cardinal Kroll Chair of Moral Theology, said the end goal or purpose of parish life should be to help as many people as possible obtain heaven by bringing them to the person of Jesus Christ. More than 200 guests were in attendance at this Cardinals Forum, and while nothing was definitively decided, Archbishop Charles Chaput said he had great hope in the young men who are the seminarians of today to guide the future. Stay tuned. We're going to be joined by Monsignor Marine from St. Bede's Parish in Holland, talking about the upcoming Padre Pio Festival. And then after that short interview, we will be speaking with Elizabeth von Trapp. Stay tuned.
Come, thou font of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Here I pause my soul journey, giving thanks for having come. Come to trust at every turning, thou wilt guide me safely on. Here I find my greatest treasure, hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, water from the love I've known. Here's my heart, oh, take and see. melodious sonnet sung by angel choirs above. Oh, with faith I fix upon it, faith in God's unchanging
Welcome back. Right now we're joined by Monsignor Marin. He's here from St. Bede's Parish in Holland, here to talk about his upcoming Padre Pio Festival. And what year is this, Monsignor?
This is our fourth annual this time, yes. It's been growing, and it's been a wonderful addition to our community and to those who, you know, love Padre Pio and want to find out more about him.
Talk a little bit about what this festival includes. I know that Sunday's a pretty special day, but you can also come on Saturday and partake of a lot of other things, too.
That's right. Yeah, we kind of combined our parish community picnic with the festival and made it, like, everything a whole weekend. So it starts out Saturday around noontime with an old-fashioned picnic, but it's not only open to our parish, but to everyone in the community and beyond. That goes from noon to 5, and then we offer a 5:30 vigil mass in honor of Padre Pio. I'll be celebrating that mass, and at the end of the mass, we'll be blessing people with the relics of Padre Pio. And after that's over, we will be having a huge outdoor concert with the Jersey Tenors. It's a free concert for the whole community. Everybody who attends. They're really, really good. They sing all kinds of music and really good stuff. And that's
Monsignor, should I just interrupt for a second? Should they bring their own chairs to that event?
You know what? There's going to be a lot of chairs because we have tents set up. Big tents, round tables and chairs. But it might be, you know, it's hard to tell what the crowd's going to be really like. It might be good for them to put some lawn chairs in their trunk, just in case. You know what I mean?
Good idea. Yeah.
But we will have a lot of chairs though too, Barbara.
Okay, know? Great.
They travel all over Canada, United States. They're fantastic. It's going to be a great evening of entertainment. But so what you do is, you can see it's a weekend of faith, family, fellowship. You know, all wrapped in together. Then all through the weekend, we have a beautiful, Saturday and Sunday, a beautiful display of relics of Padre Pio. I mean, not only his glove, part of his habit that he wore, some artifacts, personal artifacts of his, books you can see his writing, they're all a collection of relics that are in the possession of the Carmelite Sisters of Philadelphia. They're gracious enough to lend them to us again for next public veneration. So we have a special Padre Pio chapel. It's our daily mass chapel where we'll have them all on display. People will be able to see them very up close and be able to, you know, pray in front of them and venerate them. So then you want me to tell you about Sunday?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. That's okay, ongoing. Sunday. And I do think, Monsignor, that Mother Pia from the Carmelite Monastery actually knew Padre Pio personally, and that's how those relics came into her possession.
Yes, absolutely. She was a convert to Catholicism, and through his influence and the wonderful Catholic family that she lived with while she was over in Florence studying art, and then she traveled down many times and got to know him and met him and, you know, became one of his spiritual daughters. Mm-hmm. And that's how she received those relics. Yeah, they were really given to her. But now they're in her convent.
Right. And I just want to point out, that is a huge privilege to be able for us in this area to partake of those, because you're not going to see those really anywhere other than Italy.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. I've been to Padre Pio's, to San Giovanni Rotondo, to the monastery there. And we were privileged enough to get to walk through his personal rooms. You see some of these same kinds of things that we're going to have on display, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really a...
One of a kind. Really, really one of a kind for America.
It really is one of a kind. So it'll be a... That's a special thing. Then on Sunday, we have masses throughout the morning, our usual schedule, but at 12:30, it's a special mass in honor of Padre Pio, and it's going to be celebrated and preached by Father Pio Mandato, who himself is a Capuchin semi-hermit, and he has great ties to Padre Pio. You know, he was born in Pietrelcina himself, with the same birthplace of Padre Pio. His family members knew Padre Pio's family. Father Pio received his first Holy Communion from Padre Pio. So Father Pio Mandato is a great preacher, and we're privileged to have him. And he preached for our first Padre Pio Festival 4 years ago, so we have him back again. So that's going to be special. And right after the Mass, we have a street procession right around our parish area, carrying the statue of Padre Pio. That we kind of bring our faith out into the streets a little bit. We have to do more of that, I think, as Catholics. And then afterwards, there is a healing service where everyone will be anointed with this blessed oil, and also will be blessed with the glove of Padre Pio. We'll have two gloves of Padre Pio, and Father Pio and I will be blessing people with. Mm. And during that time, confessions are going to be heard. Actually, during the procession, we have priests will be in church hearing confessions. During the healing service, we'll have numerous priests available for hearing confessions in the church. So, you know, that was the big thing with Padre Pio. Of course, he spent hours in the confessional. He was a man of that he spent his life helping people to reconcile with God and, you know, with themselves and with others. So that'll be a big part of the festival.
And that's wonderful.
Plus, we just have huge grounds. We're on 23 acres here, so we have lots of free parking. We'll have games and amusements for children. And, we'll have a little thing called Padre Pio Pavilion on Sunday where little kids can come in and see little short films and do some interactive stuff and learn who Padre Pio was. And crafters will be here, lots of food vendors, and so forth. So it's just a tremendous weekend.
Yeah, and food will be on site, so you can make it a whole day.
Oh, you can make it a whole day. You can picnic, and people want to bring their own food. There's a place to picnic. We have, as I said, we have a huge tent with tables and chairs. Plus, we have under our church air conditioning. We call it Cafe Pio, where we'll be having all kinds of Italian pastries, cappuccino, espresso, for those who like those kinds of things. You know, so we have plenty of facilities, plenty of first aid, handicap accessibility, all of that. So
sounds wonderful. Again, that's at St. Bede's Parish in Holland. In Bucks County.
I'd like to point out, Barbara, to tell people if they put it in their navigation system, Holland does not show up, because Holland's just the name of the little village we're in. They have to put Southampton, Pennsylvania.
Perfect.
Southampton, yeah.
St. Bede's Parish, right.
Yeah, that way they'll be able to find the directions. They can also access our website for more information, Padre Pio Festival, HollandPA.com, Padre Pio Festival, Holland.com. HollandPA.com. So, or just Google Padre Pio Festival, it'll come up.
What a wonderful way to celebrate the feast day of this most blessed saint, who is really powerful and has so many stories about. I've heard so many people talking about the intercession of Saint Pio in their lives. So I think this is a great activity if you don't know anything about the saint or are in need of intercession from our heavenly brothers and sisters. This is a great opportunity to partake of.
A great opportunity. Padre Pio is somehow suspended between heaven and earth. I said in my homily last week, a priest is supposed to be a bridge builder, and he was that in his life, and he's still a bridge between this world and the next through his powerful intercession. And just love of those who have strayed for the church and need no way to find back, those who are dealing with illness, which of course disrupts our plans, shakes our faith. He's there to comfort us and bring us, if not physical healing, spiritual healing.
We're speaking with Monsignor Marine. He is the pastor of St. Bede's Parish. We're talking about the St. Padre Pio Festival upcoming this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And the website again is
www.PadrePioFestivalHolland.PA.
Thank you so much for your time, Monsignor. Before you go, can you leave our listeners with your priestly blessing?
I sure will. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you and your families and your loved ones, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Padre Pio,
pray for us. Thank you, Monsignor.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Barbara, for the time.
No worries. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we look forward to welcoming many people. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that beautiful voice that you're hearing is that of Elizabeth von Trapp. And we will have an interview with her coming up right after this break. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Joining us right now is Elizabeth von Trapp. She is the granddaughter of Maria and Georg von Trapp, as many of you know from The Sound of Music. She's also the daughter of Werner von Trapp, who was portrayed by a character named Kurt in The Sound of Music. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much for inviting me on your show. And I want to thank you for having all that information right off the bat so people don't wonder as we're talking.
Oh, well, how could they not? I mean, the name von Trapp alone, brings so many wonderful memories to many people. The idea of the singing that your family has brought to the world and the beauty of it has been a great gift. And we here in Philadelphia are privileged to know that you're going to be giving a concert coming up October 12th at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia.
Yes, we're very excited. I will be joined by a wonderful guitarist, Paul Asbell from the Burlington, Vermont area. I've been working with him for over 25 years, recorded with him, and I tour with him. So he'll be joining me. So for me, it's a beautiful experience of sharing the music. I accompany myself on guitar, but I like having very elegant, sort of intricate designs on the guitar to accompany my singing. And Paul adds it, so it's almost like an orchestra, but yeah, it's guitar. So you've been very excited.
Yes, you've been performing a lot. Now, your father, as we know, had a school in Reading, Pennsylvania at one point. So this is, do you remember being here as a child?
I do. I have very, very vivid memories. And I also was invited back for the an anniversary of the school, and they hosted a concert, and I was invited. And it was a really beautiful tribute to this one vision that these two men had, my father and a friend that helped, toured with the Trapp Family Singers in the late 50s. His name was Peter LaManna, and he was an organist. He worked in the Philadelphia area, but he also wanted to start a community music school, and my father joined him, and it's still a school, which is amazing that it still has survived.
Yeah, yes. And he's since moved the family back to Vermont, which is where you are based.
Yes, but my father was there 3 years, and it was very evident that it was so early in the development of the school, it really could not accommodate my father's needs of what the income he needed to make. And the other part was my aunt was managing the family hotel in Stowe at the time. My grandmother, Maria, was in Austria for the summer. She had been in the Fiji Islands several years back and had contracted malaria and was at death's door and could not come home from an Austrian trip. She always went to Austria for buying trips for a gift shop. Could not return, so my aunt took over for the summer. She called my father and said, please come and help me. My father packed us all up and drove as fast as he could back to Vermont. So those are my memories as a 3, 4, 5-year-old.
That's something.
But it's so interesting. My parents bought a farm, and I live in the Mad River Valley area still. Mm-hmm. That's where I grew up. My parents moved to 1959. They bought a beautiful farm. And this is where my husband and I live. And we come back home to recuperate. Then we go off and tour for months on end.
Yes. Well, Elizabeth, let's listen to some of your music right now so that our audience can get a sense of how you sound.
Thank you.
That was lovely, Elizabeth. Can you tell us a little bit about your background in music? And I know certainly this was the family business, but was it something that you, how did you choose it yourself?
I think it found me. You know how it is, and anybody listening, you kind of realize as a child, I was always interested in playing the piano. I was always interested when my father started singing with us, and he played guitar, and my mother took pictures of us when we were very young, and they're in Reading, actually. There's a picture of me sitting at my father's knee, I mean, literally, watching him with his fingers on the guitar strings, and the guitar happened to be the guitar that my grandfather, my mother's father, sent to her that he could have it, she could have it here in the States. So he was a guitar player in Austria, and he wanted to make sure that she had a guitar, a family guitar. So my father's playing that guitar. I'm playing a plastic Mickey Mouse guitar, and I don't even think I'm holding it right. It might be the wrong side, because I'm imitating him totally. It's like mirroring him. And that picture is so vivid in my mind. I've seen it, and I now have it in my collection. At a very early age, I realized that I loved those moments. And then later on, I realized I was the only one who wanted to go for piano lessons. Then later on, I realized I was the only one of my siblings that really wanted to pursue it. And my brother said, well, you got to go on your own then. Even though we toured and performed for several years together in churches, and in my bio, it mentions that we're going the back streets, you know, way up into Barton, into these, and Glover, these areas where people would congregate, and they'd have these special weekends of music and worship. And it was a beautiful time where my brother and I, we just played our own music. We designed our own music to psalms and made up songs and harmonies, and it was really beautiful. Then I went on my own, and I realized I had to figure out a way to make a living, and my husband is really helping me. We've been at it for 20 years.
Yeah, that's great. It's good to continue the tradition. Do you remember when The Sound of Music came out, and how did your father react to his portrayal on screen?
Oh, I have this one instant reaction to how I've been asked that often. My father took us to see the film. Of course, we saw the musical beforehand, and I remember seeing it in Burlington. There was a tour that came through, a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical of The Sound of Music, and I remember at the end, my grandmother got up to speak, to thank everyone and to thank the cast. And I was 5 years old. I remember my heart was pounding. I was so nervous for her. How could she get up there to look at all these people? And she started speaking, and she was just so eloquent and so lovely. I thought, what was I worried about? But in that moment, it came together in my mind what this was all about. I had some idea. When you sit in a musical for that long, you sort of piece it together. And I'm sure at intermission my parents explained a little bit. But when I saw my grandmother standing there, even at that young age, I knew it was something bigger. Then we went to see the movie, and the interesting part of the movie was that it opened up the whole aspect of Austria and the beauty of Austria, the backdrop.
Sure.
And it opened up a whole different conversation with everyone, how beautiful that area is, people wanting to go visit it, and especially only 20 years after the war, it was probably one of the more significant support for Austria of the tourist trade.
Yeah.
And it's become now one of their major contributors, the Sound of Music, to their tourist industry.
Oh, yeah.
It's a phenomenon.
I think there's tourists, aren't there? People go over
they're
and...
They're shaking their heads. How how can this happen?
Well, it is a timeless movie. It's just a beautiful movie. And it's beautifully sung and performed, obviously, but it's just a beautiful, visually beautiful. And Julie Andrews does a wonderful job, too.
She's gorgeous in it. It's like, but you ask how my father reacted. Funny enough, he comes out and goes, I don't remember any of this. I don't remember any of this. And then we were kind of puzzled. And then we had a beautiful conversation on our ride home. We live an hour away from Burlington. And, of course, everybody dressed to the nines back then to... go to a movie, and it was a real family event. And my father said, where the movie ends is where our lives began, our faith life. He said, and it was amazing how we were met by God at every turn.
So he remembers
it. It was so profound how he spoke that, that I've never forgotten it. And it was a moment where he was so honest and so forthcoming of, he almost was having the chance to contemplate the miracles or the serendipitous moments that came together that in ways they never could have designed without some other help.
Well, in case you were
on... Divine intervention.
Right. In case somebody has never seen The Sound of Music or is not familiar with that story, which seems hard to believe, but that was the moment at which your grandparents had to flee Austria because of the Nazi occupation and had to just take off for the unknown with nothing, really. Just take off and try to get to a safe haven. And I guess the family ended up in, you know, coming off from either, it was a boat in New York and had no idea how they would get through immigration.
Yes, and they went through Ellis Island. They had to spend 3 days there, and they were finally released. And there was a bishop from Philadelphia that vouched for them.
Isn't that funny? I wonder.
And I think that's also very profound. It was an individual that said, they are for real. They're my guests. They are singing for me. Release them. And to me, it's really the one-on-one of the human heart connecting with the other human heart to say, I believe in you, and you will make it. This is the message we so desperately need now for all situations. The challenges that we all face in life, and we need to have somebody there to say, it's okay. You'll make it. I'll be there for you.
How beautiful. We're speaking with Elizabeth von Trapp. She's going to be giving a concert at the Cathedral Basilica on October 12th. It starts at 7:30 p.m. Ticket prices range anywhere from $20 to $35, depending on where you want to sit. And students obviously have a reduced rate to get a ticket for that night. Elizabeth, that is so beautiful. Now, when you do your concerts, do you talk about stuff like that, or do you just really just sing?
I will introduce some of the songs with a little bit of information that is important to me to say at the moment. And the songs I select... at the cathedral, there are some beautiful sacred songs that I have. I have an album out called Love Never Ends, and some of the music that I perform comes off of that album. I also have an album called Something Good, which is all Rodgers and Hammerstein, but it's beautifully arranged with guitar, and has a little bit more of my thumbprint on it.
Well, let's take a listen. This is from Something Good, Songs of Rodgers and Hammerstein, sung by Elizabeth von Trapp. Elizabeth, tell us about the concert upcoming at the Cathedral Basilica.
The concert itself weaves the story of memories we all have, stories about hope and faith, and also there's one very beautiful song I do by Guy Clark called Immigrant Eyes, and it is all about coming through Ellis Island. And I don't think if they had not been approached and received by the Philadelphia community, they might have been sent back and I might not exist. And that's a reality.
Wow.
These are real truths that people face of where they come from and the openings of connection that people are able to have at very important
crossroads
in their lives. And I do believe that's the other message that churches have, or the cathedral, I'm sure, offers the haven. There are all these havens that are out there, and luckily, my life in the last 20 years, I have met so many beautiful people that are doing this work, and they invite me to come to perform to celebrate the work they're doing or the vision they have, and I can't wait to be at this cathedral because I do believe this is a wonderful chance to celebrate the faith and the visibility to answer this question of how they can help. The other thing is I will be singing with the children's choir, and that's going to be very exciting as well. So there will be a choir to join me at a certain point in the program.
You mentioned that your father said his life really began when the end of the movie,
which was the most torturous part of it all. Did your grandfather, when you see the movie, he had such a huge estate in the movie. Was that realistic? And did they really leave everything? They had nothing, all their bank account, everything was cleared out?
That's a long answer, but I will try to keep it short. The thing is, my grandfather owned a mansion of a house, not as elaborate as you see in The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the facade they use in The Sound of Music is actually an archbishop's palace.
Isn't that funny? I didn't know that.
Yes, and so it's called Leopold's Kron, and it's a beautiful palace, and I've been there many, many times, and it's become like the focal point for tourists to come to look at. The Trapp Villa is a very... it's a very comfortable home, and it was redesigned and renovated by my grandfather to house his beautiful family. And they rented it out to a Catholic school, to the priests of a Catholic school, where they could live during the war years. And after the war years, they were able to repossess the house. And then they sold it.
And he never looked back, huh?
Well, I don't think once they were here, he passed away in 1947. The interesting thing is 1950, the family was invited to sing at the Salzburg Festival. And they returned. The war was over. It was a new season. And they sang for that new season for Austria. He never stopped loving the Austria that he served. And that's the other beautiful, I think, the legacy. He just was very connected to the Austria that he fought for. And these shifting of times, we need people that have wisdom to help us to make the right decision as a country. And I believe that he was one of those, he was a captain, but he was also so generous of heart, and he made sure his family would make it together and survive together. And I think that's the bigger story.
Yes, I agree. And what is the legacy, do you think, of your grandmother, Maria?
She made sure that they were successful. She had a great sense of how to manage and a vision of how things could play out, that they must be motivated to do more. They always did more than they ever expected. They went further. They gave out more than they thought they could. She often had challenges to meet, and they had no materials to do it. They had no money for it, and she said, it will arrive at the right time. And she had this faith that she was practicing and testing, and things came about. And I believe it influenced all the others to start to think that way, too, so they collectively could think that way.
Mm-hmm. Do you still feel her presence then in terms of your ability to go on? And sometimes I know the artistic life is not always easy in terms of, you sometimes don't know how you're going to make it through. And do you feel that strong influence on you as you travel and tour?
I feel that I've been blessed beyond measure because they did so much work of meeting people. They toured for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And met people. They hosted people up in their home in Stowe. It's now a 5-star hotel, Four Seasons. It runs Four Seasons, and it's just a very beautiful destination resort that people go to. But it started out with guests that met them at concerts wanting to have a little vacation in Vermont.
Mm.
And the thing is, that's who they were. They gave generously of their hearts and of their soul and of their minds, and they loved connecting with community. They loved inspiring community and encouraging and telling people, you are beautiful, what you're doing. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. And I do believe because they had that spirit of connecting, they were always the abundance of provision was always somehow there at the right time. The right person showing up at the right time to give them advice. The right amount of money. That's what the stories were endless. And when we had family reunions, everybody had a different story of what they thought was the best, you know.
Oh, maybe someday you can put all those stories down and continue the tradition. We'd love to hear them. Be a fly in the wall at a reunion of the Von Trapp grandchildren.
Yeah. They are all the seven that are depicted in the Sound of Music and the parents. They are all now deceased, and they are in the other place that they always were singing about. And I believe that the strength of their faith does reside in our hearts and in the hearts of people who have followed the story. And I think that the faith part keeps on giving and keeps on producing ideas and answers and hope and whatever we need.
And we here in Philadelphia are lucky to be able to tap into that. Again, as we're saying, we're speaking with Elizabeth Von Trapp. This is kind of like a once, maybe in a lifetime opportunity. I don't know how frequently you come here, but she will be singing on October 12th, starting at 7:30 at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia. And she is going to be doing an eclectic mix of songs. And we've given you a taste of what she sounds like. And, you know, maybe a little bit of spiritual, a little bit of, I don't know if you're doing Rodgers and Hammerstein, but a potpourri.
Oh, we'll pepper a few of those in.
A few of them, because you're doing, yes, and I would love to, it's going to be a great night. And again, tickets probably, there is going to be a limited number of tickets, so you want to go and act on this fast. You can find it at cathedralphila.org. That's cathedralphilaconcerts.org. Elizabeth, thank you so much for your time. We are so privileged to speak with you today, and I'm looking so much forward to hearing you in your concert coming up this October.
Thank you so much for inviting me on your show. It's so gracious of you. And I look forward to seeing those that are listening that decide to come to the concert. It's a very beautiful invitation, and I am very grateful.
Oh, we can't wait. Again, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Is
Thanks for listening. We'll be back again with you next week.